What's going on, guys? Back for another episode of My Biggest Lessons. I got my friend Tiffany Krumans on. What's going on? How are you?
I'm good. Good. Busy day. I've actually done a couple different recordings today, so I'm coming up for air.
Well, this will be the best one, hopefully.
Yeah.
So, I know, founder of Ava the Elephant, right? That's correct, yes. That pronunciation. And you're working on a new brand, probiotic brand. Yeah.
I just launched a new product called Opu Probiotics, and it is in full swing now.
Hell yeah. That's so exciting. So a little bit of backstory before we kind of get into the episode. We've been LinkedIn friends for, I don't know, let's call it a year, 2 years now. And I know you're a big CrossNet advocate, so I always appreciate seeing those posts. And you've got a crazy story yourself. I put up a post the other day looking for new guests for this podcast. Candidly, we needed a little bit more diversity. And you've built an incredible business and you have a crazy story with Shark Tank. So I kind of want to get into that. Like, talk to me about the first brand, talk to me about the second brand. Like, who are you today and where were you, let's call it 5-10 years ago?
Sure. So mine's actually about 13 years ago now. I was an accidental entrepreneur. I invented a product for a little boy that I love dearly. I was a caregiver for children with special needs. And so I had a moment of clarity with giving him medication one day where I created this little elephant to basically hide his medication. And when it worked so well on him, I had kind of this eye-opening experience of maybe there's a lot of kids all over the world that could use this. And shortly after, I saw the casting for the pilot episode of Shark Tank. So it didn't have a name yet. It wasn't sold to a network. Nobody knew who the sharks were. They hadn't even been picked yet, I don't think. And I auditioned for it. So I submitted. I said, yes, I think I have this next big idea. I need the funding. I know nothing about product development. Again, I was a caregiver, not an inventor.
Yeah.
And I pitched on the pilot episode and Barbara Corcoran invested in me and she was my investor for 7 years.
That's crazy. And at that time when you had pitched, was it, do you have any sales? Is it just like brand new?
So at that time, the layperson couldn't even do a 3D prototype because that wasn't available to everyone. So I actually baked my prototypes in my oven out of clay so that they would be hard and solid. And I took 5 homemade clay baked elephants on the show. So I was on Shark Tank with those and that was it. That was all I had. I didn't even have a patent at the time. I had already done my search and all that, but I had not filed my patent. So I was a very green newbie when I walked into the tank.
That's crazy because I'm currently going for an investment round for CrossNet. Actually, I'm raising about $2 million, first time ever raising money. And it's hard. Like I built a pretty cool business and it's even hard for me. Tell me about that. Like going up to Barbara in the tank, like how did you convince her to invest in you?
Barbara saw a little bit of herself in me and it's so funny because on that episode she said, I see myself in you. And she had no idea who I really was at that point. She didn't know that we shared some of the same struggles. So I struggled terribly in school. I still battle severe anxiety. So it's odd that I kind of went on the show because I battle that every day. And she has gone through dyslexia and all sorts of other different challenges of her own. So we bonded in a different way. I think we kind of had this dream investor situation where most people think they want an angel investor and they're going to get something much different than I got with Barbara. I got a true friendship and a mentorship. So I'm kind of like the unicorn in that space because I didn't have all the bad experiences with investors, but I have heard the horror stories like what you're going through now. It's so hard to do. I love the way you're doing your funding right now because you're not stuck with any one investor. I've heard a lot of horror stories of people thinking they want an investor and then having one that controls the majority of their company.
Exactly. Yeah, that was important for us to kind of have a proof of concept, have revenue coming in before we just gave up 51%. So
yes.
Definitely not doing that. So how was working with her, right? So like the dream entrepreneur sitting on your couch on a Friday night, Shark Takes comes on at 8 o'clock. Are you talking to her every week? Is it every day? What's communication like really like behind the scenes?
So I was. She was my investor, like I said, for 7 years. I'm 13 years out now from my appearance on Shark Tank. And then the brand was acquired. So we sold Ava the Elephant to another brand. But until then, we worked very closely because I was one of her first investments as a product. She had really made it big in real estate. Everyone knew her for real estate. But when she met me on the show, I was one of the first products she ever invested in. So we had to kind of learn all of it together. We went into our first CVS meeting. We sat down and he's like talking about all these terms and all these things that we had no idea. And we're just, FOB China. Absolutely. And now we obviously know it like the back of our hand, but we didn't know anything. So we learned a lot of that together. It was a sweet relationship and a way to kind of learn this entire industry. Whereas most people now, they work with her and her team, and it's a whole different setup.
Yeah. Now, that's cool that you guys got to kind of hold hands throughout the process and learn it together. I know it seems like you're still kind of involved with the Shark Tank, like, community, at least. How do you think the show's kind of changed compared to, like, your early days? I remember, like, they took equity up front, or that was the rumor, at least. Like, how's it changed?
I think the biggest change is that you don't see inventions now. You obviously never see a brand new clay, homemade, baked prototype. And the reason being is that I was on the pilot. So we had time to bring the product to market, to get it out, because we had this big span between filming and it actually airing. It was almost a year or 9 months or so. Now they film in the summer and it airs in the fall. So they need products that are ready to buy right then. And that's why people don't see inventions. That's probably the biggest change since my time on Shark Tank and now, is that you don't see new inventions.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah. And so at the size of your business before it got acquired, like, you're just talking about CVS, what was the scale? What did it get to? And was Barbara like a key factor in all of that?
Barbara was a huge factor in all that. I mean, I knew nothing, like I said, about business in general when I went into this. So she played a big role in our success, but we had a lot of hardships because I had a product that was very small margins and a niche market. It was close to impossible to succeed with this product. And I've learned that about product development. Yeah. I would never go down that road again. Never, never, never would I invent a single product that had such small margins and try to take it to market by myself. That's one of the reasons why my new brand was so appealing to me, is because I knew I had the margins. I knew it was a much bigger market than just children who struggled with medication. So we faced a lot of challenges. I'm sorry, I forgot what that question was.
I was just trying to get a good sense of the brand size. So CVS was in thousands of retail stores, or?
No, it was in a lot of major retailers before Babies R Us went out of business. It was in there. It was sold in other countries and other languages. So we were very, very successful with the product, and I was happy. I mean, as successful as we could be with a niche product that had a small market. So I can't complain at all.
Yeah. And you brought up almost a better point than even the question I was asking about, was like, so many times people will create a business, not understand what it takes to be profitable and successful. Right. And they won't even have the margins from the first day of launch. And they don't even realize a year later, like, the business is destined to fail because you just don't have the margins.
I mean, if it weren't for Shark Tank, I could have never marketed Ava the Elephant. If I hadn't had that show, I could have never had the marketing spend to actually get it out there. So yeah, I mean, people go in already dead, like you said, from day one, because they don't look at the margins on what it takes to actually not just make the product, to manufacture it, but to market it, to fulfill it, to do your overhead as a business owner. So yeah, there's way too much goes into it to try to succeed with really small margins.
I mean, every industry is kind of different, but like, in this new line of work that you're kind of just starting into, like, what are typical margins that you're looking for? How do you know that this is going to be the product? And I'll give you some framework. Like, for me, anytime I'm creating a backyard game, I'm looking for 70% margin, gross margin. If that 70% is not there, if it's lower than 50, like, I'm not touching it, because it's no potential for retail, and selling it online is going to be super hard.
I'm looking for the same thing. I mean, literally right in line with what you just said, because I know the uphill battle I have, and I need those margins to be able to market the product and fulfill it. I'm not going to struggle like I did on those first product or in that first product anymore. So, and that's what I love about this brand. We've got really great margins. I can discount. I can do coupons. There's so much I can do with it that I couldn't do before.
How do you feel about discounting?
I don't mind it. I don't mind doing it at all, especially as part of my marketing. With our product is a probiotic, and it's a new way to take probiotics. So people don't really truly understand that, and they haven't tasted it. We have to get it into their hands. So I'm happy to get somebody started on a box of this at a much lower price, because I know they will come back and be subscribers and pay the full price for 6 months, a year, whatever it is they do probiotics for.
I love that. Is it mostly through performance marketing right now, or how are you getting the word out compared to 12 years ago? I mean, the landscape changes every 6 months. I'm sure this has got to be...
So far, I have literally done just grassroots marketing with this brand, and I've loved every minute of it. You know, I have friends that are influencers that have been sharing it. I've done local news. I've done things like this where I'm on podcasts, and we have grown month after month. We've doubled our revenue every month since we launched 4 months ago. So I'm very happy with how we're doing, but I haven't put any money into Facebook. I haven't put any money into anything yet, because I'm just trying to see what I can do organically.
That's awesome. And damn, that's so cool. Month over month, like, just seeing it still just keep climbing. That's got to be such a cool feeling. When's the time to put on the jets then? Like, at what point do you be like, all right, we're now going to start putting some cash behind it?
I'm working on a couple different television opportunities. And I think when we gear up to do those, when those go to launch, that's when we're going to hit it really hard and have some money in the tank where we can, no pun intended, so we can really market it at the same time and play off of those television opportunities.
And how are you getting those? Because I have people come to me, like I get very lucky, candidly, right? On the Utah news today, and I get 200 sales from Utah, like, sweet. I didn't know that was going to happen. How are you getting yourself in the room with these people? Is it a PR agency? Is it just like your personal network?
Yep, just my personal network. My network has just been my backbone through all of this. I've built such a great network of people around me over these last 12, 13 years that now I can reach out to these high-level executives at different networks and sprinkle this new product into their stories. And so, yeah, it's really just keeping those relationships going that I've had since day one with Shark Tank, not just at ABC, but anywhere I've ever done any press. I mean, I had the opportunity to go on Dr. Oz and be interviewed by him at one point with Ava the Elephant. So all of those relationships I've built, I've just held on to and used for this new brand.
So important. That's so cool to hear. Is there something like over the first 4 months of business that when you launched, well, first, before I get asked that, how long did you take off between Ava and Opu? Was it years between or?
Yeah, it was about probably 2 or 3 years before I did anything. And the only reason I did Opu is because I was using a competitor's version of this that I hated. It was a chalky powder that didn't stir into anything. You basically mixed it up in a drink and chugged it down. And I liked the strain that was in it, the probiotic strain, but I did not like the delivery. And so because of my own challenges and what I wanted in a product and my now knowledge of product development, the only reason I went into this was like, wow, I now have found a factory in my own home state. I found a product, a packaging company in my own state. The margins are good. There are so many things lined up with this product that made me realize this is the one I want to be my next big venture.
Yeah. We've had a ton of like CPG founders on the show and they've told me horror stories about trying to get their product made. Any lessons or takeaways that you're like, damn, I wish I would have known that 6 months ago or a year ago that you look back and you're like, I'm an idiot. Why don't I do that?
Yeah. Well, I have a good network. I've got an engineer that I absolutely love. I've got a patent person, a trademark person. I've got a few key people that I use for everything now. But it took me a long time to find those people. And if you can get a highly recommended engineer or someone who has that sourcing ability in your back pocket, mine is Noah McNeely. That's his name. I'm connected to him on LinkedIn. He's fantastic. He has created products for some of the biggest brands in the world. And he's a dear friend of mine now. And so if you can get those kind of people in your circle, then you're golden. But if not, you tend to get taken advantage of, and new inventors get taken advantage of.
I see that all the time. Yeah. Whether it's in working with the manufacturer, trying to like upsell them on the price by 50%. Yeah. Like I've known so many brands just being, that's crazy.
They tell them they have to buy 5,000 units right up front, or they have to buy 15,000, and people end up sitting on 15,000 units of product in their garage. And that's one of my biggest tips when I first talk to inventors, don't do that. Find a factory that will work with you to grow at the right pace.
I remember I was starting CrossNet and I was still doing freelance jobs on the side, building websites just to pay the rent. Yeah. And I talked to this one guy and he was about to build a snow shovel company and there's a handle on the middle of the shovel so you don't blow your back out. And he had just pretty much had liquidated his entire life, I think had sold his house, and he was about to buy a 10,000 unit order of these shovels before he had even sold one.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm about to put a $400,000 order in for the shovel. I'm like, bro, you don't even know if you could sell one. You're about to be stuck with 99,000 shovels. Like,
I've heard in the last 13 years, I've heard hundreds, if not thousands, of those same stories. I mean, it's just rampant. But most of it is, the problem is they've teamed up with the wrong people. They've gone to these companies, the invention submission companies, and all these people that have advised them incorrectly. So I encourage you to find somebody who could give you the whole cold, hard truth like you did with that gentleman. I hope he pulled the plug and didn't go forward with that. But yeah, I see it all the time. People mortgaging their homes, going bankrupt, trying to launch products. Don't do it.
It's insane. Is there anything in the first few months that you thought, damn, this worked so well with Ava, it's going to work 100% with our new company, and it just flopped?
Oh God, that's a good question. No, I've just had a much easier path with this product. So I don't know if there's anything with Ava. I mean, Shark Tank obviously was my big break with that first product. Yeah. I'm on that with this new product. So that would be nice. But with that said, I've actually really enjoyed I talk about this a lot on LinkedIn. I've enjoyed growing this company the right direction. So what you did with CrossNet, one person by one person by one person, really enjoying and loving my product and telling the next person versus going on television in front of millions of people. Suddenly it's out there. You're getting complaints. You're getting returns. You're getting all sorts of stuff thrown at you. And that was really overwhelming. So I like growing at the right pace and it's manageable. I can actually keep up with it versus the wave that I got with Shark Tank.
No, I love that. One of my buddies, he invented Crown in Pots. I don't know if you've ever seen it. They put pet faces on Renaissance backgrounds so you could think craziest. Yeah, so he was on the podcast yesterday. I don't know the timing of when all these episodes will come out, but I think the best thing I took away from the 20 minutes with him was we're growing the business now on a 10-year timeline. All the stupid shit and all the impulse decisions we make that screw up the business, like we don't think about it anymore because we're not trying to sell this company in 25 weeks. We're selling it in 10 years. So think long term and don't have that like viral moments where things hits the fan. So
that's it. One of the things for me with that, with this product is I've had the opportunity because of television to maybe go on and do some of these deals where you sell your product for a lot less, but you sell a lot at one time. I'm not interested in that right now. I don't want, that's not the customer that I want. I don't want that. And not, no offense to someone who wants to, because I'm cheap, but I want someone who's truly invested in the product and needs it and wants it or will probably buy it for 6 months, a year on end, maybe 2 years, not someone who just said, oh, it's a good deal, let me try it, and doesn't want it the following month. So yeah, be more selective. If you can be more selective in who you actually sell to. And I don't want to sell, if I have 20,000 units of these, which I do right now, or not 20,000 anymore, but if I ordered 20,000 boxes of this product, I don't want to sell it for one third of the cost just to sell a bunch now. And I would have done that. That was totally my thing on Shark Tank and after is move product. I'm not in that space anymore. I want to find the solid customers that can stick with me.
I love that. Especially if you're acquiring customers now with a $0 acquisition cost just through word of mouth.
Right.
Like, dude, even if they stay on for 6 months as customers, like that is such a cash positive position to be in.
Exactly. And we've seen such incredible things with this product. I encourage entrepreneurs to be open to new ways of doing business that they didn't even think of. I just have hit one this week. I had a lady who has subscribed to my product for 2 months now. She emails me and she's the head of a really well-known wellness, not wellness brand, a product. It's an olive oil spray, basically. And she loves the product so much that she ended up going to her HR team and saying, we want to provide this as part of our wellness program to all 150 of our customers. I mean, not customers, our employees. And so that opened my eyes to all the wellness programs and how many people could have this. So keep an eye out for those kind of opportunities that come your way because it might be something that you never expected.
No, I love that. I think almost every business probably has these niche pockets that you don't even think of on invention day. Like for us, churches and camps. Like I never thought when we created CrossNet in my backyard, like Christian youth camps were coming for us. But like I could literally hire a full-time salesperson just to sell to them all day long.
Of course. Yeah. They're better than the average family, I would think, because they're going to use
absolutely.
It. We have your product in our neighborhood. I've sent you videos on LinkedIn before. Yep. We're obsessed with it. We play it constantly. And people just line up and they're obsessed with it. We've got 68-year-olds sitting there playing and a 4-year-old will hop in. And the great part, what I love, so I was a volleyball player in high school. I love volleyball. Yeah. And what I love about your product is it weeds out people that don't know what they're doing pretty quickly. No offense. Yeah. It allows you to play for a few minutes. And if my 4-year-old wants to jump in and try to hit it, she can try once and then she's out and we can keep playing. Right? So I like that. Exactly. I like that it's written that way.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's been such a fun journey just building something because originally, right? Like I built it for myself. I was 25. I was at the beach bored with my girlfriend. I don't want to sit on the blanket anymore. I want to go do something.
Yeah.
And now families all across the world are playing it. Like,
that's such crazy. I didn't know your story. So did you just rig one the very first time you just kind of rigged a net and then started playing it? Oh, that's
awesome. I rigged two up and had my buddies come over. And 3 hours later, we looked at each other and we felt like we were 16 again. And we're like, yo, this is that's proof of concept right there.
Are those your co-founders? Were they your co-founders?
Yeah, my co-founders and like my childhood best friends. So just
I hate to interview you on your show, but I'm curious to know at what point did you think I want to make this into a product? I mean, Shark Tank was my pushing point. What caused you?
I knew 48 hours into it, right? After we once we made that proof of concept, once we made the prototype in the backyard and we literally had fun and nobody was looking at their phones, nobody was complaining about work or their girlfriends or whatever.
Yeah.
We knew it was a business. It was, could we do this? So we quickly, we took out our 401ks,
yeah,
moved to Florida, and I just flipped them on the beach. And then I would meet you. You'd take it back to your family and I'd start getting sales from your town. We had no acquisition costs in the early days either.
Oh, that's so cool. Wow.
It's crazy. So last question I got for you on the pod, always the same last question. It's been a few years, 13, 14, 15 years going down this road now. What is the one thing you would tell yourself or another entrepreneur? What was the biggest lesson you've taken away?
I think my advice would be that you better be extremely passionate about whatever it is you're going into. So for you, you're passionate about the physical activity and the connection of your product. You still are all these years later. Same for me with probiotics. I needed to really believe in this product to launch it. I see so many people that get into it for money. They think they're going to hit it big. They think they're going to make millions on an invention. And if they're not passionate about the actual product and the reason they came up with it, they got zero chance at succeeding because they're going to hit wall after wall after wall. I battled cancer after my first invention. And that's when that became clear to me. When I was going through that, I was literally in the hospital working on my product. It became very clear to me that if I wasn't this passionate about helping children with that product, that I never would have kept going. I would have thrown in the towel, closed down the company. And so I encourage people to take a good hard look. Is this something that you can talk about day in and day out to anyone and be super passionate about it 10 years from now? If not, don't do it.
I love that. Thank you so much for coming on, Tiffany. Tell us, tell everybody where they can get your product.
Yes. So it's getopu, getopu.com or opuprobiotics.com. And yeah, you can order a single box if you want to just try it out, or you can subscribe.
I love it. Thanks so much for coming on. I'm rooting for you. Yeah. We'll talk soon.
Thanks so much.
Thanks. So that's another episode of My Biggest Lessons. Each and every week, I'll be having one of my favorite entrepreneurs come on, share their stories, their mistakes, the things they wish they knew. Entrepreneurship's a lonely road, right? You only learn by getting better. You only learn by making mistakes. So I want them to come on and share their stories. If you have somebody in mind that you want on, drop a comment, subscribe, share with a friend. Let's get the best people in the world on here. Thanks for listening.